This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and my guests today are Barry Pearson, a director of the Kirkland Fine Arts Center at Millikan University in Decatur. They've recently announced their upcoming performing arts season. And later on in the show, we'll talk with Ken Collins, who is directing the University of Illinois Summer Band. They open their summer season with, I'm not sure how many concerts, we'll find out. I believe that's tomorrow night on the Quad on the Urbana-Champaign campus with a free concert. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Music just kind of made me smile today. I thought I'd share it with you. It's a piece called Brazilian Sleigh Bells by Percy Faith and performed by the Eastman Rochester Pops Orchestra, conducted by the very young Frederick Fennell. He's no longer with us. Best known in the band world for his work with bands and wind ensembles. And that off of the old Mercury Living Presence series and the sort of thing that used to be played all the time at concerts. And it's not so common anymore. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. My first guests today are Barry Pearson, who's director of the Kirkland Fine Arts Center at Millikan University in Decatur. And he brought with him, or maybe she brought him, but I dragged her into the studio, and we'll probably get her to say a few things as well, Amy Hodges, who is Media and Public Relations Director for Millikan University. And the Kirkland Fine Arts Center has announced its 2009-2010 season. Apparently their 40th anniversary of the Performing Arts Series, and has an interesting mix of things that traditionally called performing arts and a few things not necessarily so. So we'll hear about it on the show today. It's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks both of you for coming in.
Thank you for having us. It's great to be here.
Yeah, definitely.
So performing arts gets a bit of a stretched definition.
It sure does, yep.
I'm trying to remember the previous mix. Is this typical of the mix that you've had?
I've been directing the series now for 4 years, and one of the things that the center does is it's home to the series, but it's also home to all of fine arts at Millikan. So we have a sitting orchestra, the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra. They do their series there in the hall. And we have the School of Music, which does all its concerts, and we have two art galleries, as well as then a range of other kinds of things that happen, lectures and public events. So the center really has a broad mission. And when I took over the series, one of the things I noticed is that because of the way the audience splits between the boomers and then a very young demographic in terms of the young professionals, 25 to 35-year-old, whose performing arts background is very limited, we really had to expand the series to attract the full scope of the audience. And so one of the things we've tried to do is include kind of events that you wouldn't traditionally see in a performing arts center.
So why don't you give us the rundown for the coming season?
Sure. Well, we start the season off with Baca Beyond, which you'll hear a little bit of in a minute, there in the center October 3rd. And then we follow that up with our holiday jazz concert on December 19th. And some of our own professional resident musicians who will be in the hall. Then we come back January 24th, with Jungle Jack Hanna, which a number of folks will be familiar with through his television show, Jack Hanna's Animal Adventures, and his appearances on The Late Show with David Letterman. Again, one of those non-traditional events. Then Frank Warren's Post-Secret. Frank Warren will be on our campus to present and talk about the Post-Secret blog, which has really become quite a phenomenon. People posting their deep and dark personal secrets on the Post-Secret blog. It'll be very interesting to hear his discussion of that and why he thinks it's important. Then Slide in on Wednesday, March 10th. This is kind of our tribute to St. Patrick's Day, and this is an interesting group from Ireland. It's traditional musicians with attitude, as they're described. It's a very diverse collection of songs and music from Ireland. And then Cirque Voila, which is Sunday, April 18th. They are a traditional Cirque group. They range from everything from kind of contortionists to interesting feats of human strength. Then we close the season May 8th with Cherry Homes, which is a very interesting group of it's not your typical family bluegrass band, but so there's a lot of interesting kind of crossover between Irish step dancing and classic country yodeling and some old-time clawhammer banjo. So this is kind of a follow-up to our last year's bluegrass offering.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. Baka Beyond, that's spelled B-A-K-A. Who are they?
Well, this is a group whose musicians kind of come and go. It's a group in name. Musicians trade out, and so there's a number of different musicians who will play in Baka Beyond. It's a group that whose work is on behalf of the forest people in Cameroon, and the music is of that that sound. A lot of handmade instruments that blend the melodies of African rhythm with ancient and modern Celtic traditions of Europe. It's very eclectic. I think there's always artists who are really close to your heart, and this is one of them for me.
How did you find out about them?
Well, just through context, we kind of, the center is kind of becoming, gaining a name among agents and artists as a place where this type of group can be presented. And we especially like to present a group like Baka Beyond because the artists are willing to engage in community outreach. So we'll have some school age children come on campus and see a performance and also get to know the instruments. And we'll also do some other community engagement program. This is called our Kirk Out program. It's literally translates as Kirk Out in the community, engaging in educational efforts and creative exchanges is how we describe it.
And I'm going to display my geographical ignorance here or absent-mindedness. Cameroon is where? It's the Baka Forest people in Cameroon.
It's, as I understand it, it's near the rainforests of upper Africa. And so, that's my reference to it. I would have to have a map to point exactly to where it is.
Do the your release indicates that musicians come from six different countries. Are they all African countries?
No. There are European artists represented who have kind of gotten in on Baka Beyond through connections to the musicians who started it. And so it's kind of become a phenomenon. If you kind of, in the CD jacket I was reading, how one artist kind of passed the torch on to another musician who was interested in playing and also interested in the philanthropy and in terms of raising money and supporting the rainforest people of Cameroon. So there's also a teaching that goes on as a part of it. So the musicians spend time teaching music to the youth of the area as well. And that for us as a teaching and learning institution, that's right in our mission. So we love having that as an example in our center, but also then an example for our students to see.
We're talking with Barry Pearson, director of the Kirkland Fine Arts Center at Millikan University, about their upcoming performing arts series. And why don't we hear a sample of performance by the group called Baka Beyond? They'll be appearing at the Kirkland on the 3rd of October. This piece, which I'm not even sure if it's pronounced this way in the classical music world, we know the composer Pierre Boulez, and it's spelled that way. It looks like Boulez, Boulez. Could be Boulez, Boulez. Don't know what it means either way, but this is what it sounds like on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Called Baka Beyond, B-A-K-A. That's not Bach as in Johann Sebastian, obviously. Musicians from six countries specializing in world fusion music, bringing the culture of the Baka Forest people in Cameroon to the stage, and they're coming to the stage of the Kirkland Fine Arts Center at Millikan University in Decatur in the coming season on the 3rd of October, 7:30 performance. If you want more information on the group, you can go to bakabeyond.com. And again, that's B-A-K-A, Beyond. Or for more information on the Kirkland Fine Arts Center, let's ask Amy Hodges, who is the PR director for Millikan University. And what would be the best way for somebody to find out more about any of the groups or about the series or about anything going on in fine arts at Millikan?
The best way is just to go to our website at millikan.edu. You can find all of our events on the front page. We usually advertise them in the way of a news release, just giving you all the information you need to go in and get tickets and that sort of thing. So we definitely encourage more people to come and experience all these different things that are happening in Central Illinois and in Decatur, you know.
Looking at the series that Barry Pearson ran down for us, and let me back up and say, if you're just tuning in, that this is Live and Local, and my guests today are Barry Pearson, director of the Kirkland Fine Arts Center, and Amy Hodges. Barry ran down the programs on the season, and the third one was the first one to particularly catch my eye because it seemed to stand out as not what I would necessarily call performing arts unless you think of animals as performers, which they certainly can be. Yeah. Jack Hanna's Animal Adventures. And I'm just remembering, you know, now that we had the news yesterday that Ed McMahon passed away, and I was used to love watching Johnny Carson's interactions with the animals, which were always priceless. Was Jack Hanna on that show?
No, he was not on Carson. Carson had another... she was a woman, actually. Who would I see her face? She's blonde, and
that's right. Yeah,
she would bring animals on and stuff. And there's that famous scene of I think where the lion roars or something, and Johnny runs across the stage and leaps into Ed's arms. You know, but actually, Hannah used to torture David Letterman all the time. He would go when Letterman was still on NBC. He would go take animals to the Letterman show, and Hannah's. You know, he's not kind of the Bear Grylls type. He's a little bit more of the he was quite sometimes uncoordinated. You know, he had a lot of handlers who would help him, but animals kind of got away from him a little bit on the Letterman show a few times. You know, and it was pretty funny. So yeah, I think Jack's personality is the performance as much as anything.
So I have a question for Amy regarding this one. When you're selling a show, do you sell something like this any differently to folks who might be expecting, you know, something that would be musical or more stereotypic, more typically performing arts on a performing arts series?
Well, you'd be surprised at how many people I've talked to on campus who are like a huge fan of all the music productions. I've had so many students come up to me already, you know, that I've talked with. They're like, oh my gosh, Jungle Jack is coming to campus. Very excited. So I think the same types of people that are interested in art, you know, fine arts might, you know, find something here as well, you know, and especially people with children or just, you know, younger demographic. So
you're looking, I mean, you just assume that people who are interested in lots of things are interested in lots of things.
Well, I think any probably, you know, any of us who grew up with television, you know, have had some introduction to Jack Hanna. And one of the things that I've noticed in just my short time programming the series is that people really want to be able to bring children to a fine arts hall. And finding that artist or that attraction in the case of Jack Hanna that can allow that to happen is always a good thing. If any way we can hook that younger generation into thinking about a performing arts center, even if it's not programming traditional performing arts series, I think that's a good thing. I also think that in somebody like Jack Hanna, he's going to reinforce some very kind of current topical issues, talking about the environment, talking about endangered species, talking about even things that, and one of the themes for the center has been, what can we do locally to help our environment? We've done a long series on water, and Jack Hanna is, we had Jeff Corin here as well.
So, and who is that?
Jeff Corin is on the Corin Experience. He's another animal guy.
Okay.
Much more environmentally oriented, though. He's much more activist in his approach. And so Jack Hanna continues that theme about talking about the animals and the environment, and it's a good way to get young kids in and talk attract them with the animals and talk about the environment. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I would go. I mean,
there you go. See,
and of course, that's one of the goals of this show is to encourage people to go out and see live performance of all kinds. Let's talk about the next musical group coming, which is going to be next March, a group called Slide Irish Music. You mentioned them briefly.
Right.
We're going to hear a piece from their CD, which is called Overneath. Slide, Overneath. What else can you tell us about that?
Well, I think as you listen to this, this piece, one of the things to try to imagine is imagine these guys on stage. It's a very dynamic group. At one point, the fiddle player stands on a chair, and it, at the same time, he's fiddling, he's also dancing. So it's a very physically engaging group. And one of the things I like in terms of being able to present these groups like Slide and Baca is that it gives the musicians a chance to show off their virtuosity. You know, because the group is small and we're able to present them in a very kind of casual setting, and they're very welcoming to the audience. They often allow certain moments to happen spontaneously, and Slide is very much like that. I don't think any performance is always any two performances are exactly the same.
Well, here is a recorded performance, which, of course, will be the same every time you play it on your CD
That's
player.
Right.
It's called 2 Minutes to Go. It's the group called Slide, some traditional Irish music with a twist here on FM 90.9. A tune called 2 Minutes to Go by the Irish group Slide, and from their disc called Overneath. They're going to be performing at Millikan University's Kirkland Fine Arts Center, part of their performing arts series just announced, and that is next March 10th in 2010. Are they, Barry Pearson's my guest here on Live and Local along with Amy Hodges, are they actually Irish?
Yes, they are. They are the real deal.
Because there are a lot of groups around, you know, local and otherwise, that are they're not impersonators, but they're people who've picked up the style. And
no,
do,
these aren't
do
these
well.
Are not impersonators.
Not
they,
they have the accent and everything.
They have the accent, and if you read their technical writer, you can always know a true Irish group by the beer they request. And so they, needless to say, I don't think we'll be able to get some of it, but we'll be able to get them close.
And the technical writer is?
Oh, just their list of requests as far as lights and sound and food and catering. And we really try to, the artists are on the road, you know, it's they're a long way from home. So we try to take good care of them. And you know, they, after a long concert, sometimes they'd like, you know, like a cold beverage.
So if we had more time in the show, maybe next time you're on, we'll get into things like, what was the craziest thing you were asked
That's
to provide? Because that always makes for interesting
that
conversation.
That always does. That makes
especially
for...
in the opera world.
Yes, that's right.
But
right.
Also, you know, with yeah. I remember reading something that Madonna always asked for, which, of course, I now won't remember, but you can just sort of assume it's outrageous.
Well, the weirdest one, actually, I saw was one for Rolling Stones. They have to, they want certain, he wants, Mick Jagger wants certain types of lilies in his room, and he wants an exercise bike to ride to warm up.
So you provide what you can. But,
we provide what we can.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. WYLF's programs today are made possible by the Illinois Shakespeare Festival, presenting A Midsummer Night's Dream, Richard III, The Tempest, and Scapin from June 25th through August 8th. At the Ewing Manor in Bloomington. I guess they open tomorrow night. More information is online at thefestival.org or 309-438-8110. Coming up on the show, conversation with Ken Collins, who's director of the University of Illinois Summer Band, which performs tomorrow night on the Urbana-Champaign campus. We've got one more musical excerpt to go before we let you guys go, and thank you very much again for coming in.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
It
was fun.
It's fun to hear this variety of music. I really enjoyed all this stuff, and when you sent me some MP3s to give an idea of what these groups sounded like, it was fun to listen to the variety. Mm-hmm. You're wrapping up next season in May of 2010 with a group called Cherry Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
They've been at the Grand Ole Opry and other such places. What else can you tell us about them?
Well, this is an interesting group. I found out about them by accident. We did a whole academic conference last year on American roots music, and somebody at the conference, a guy from Chicago, said you might want to listen to this group. It's they've had some fame, but they're really connected to the music. They're not, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about impersonators. They said these guys are the real deal. They can play, and so listen to the CD and talk to the representation and they can play. I mean, they're really good musicians, as well as having had some you know, fame in terms of being known out there. And it's an interesting group generationally. They're very young, as well as some older players. So generationally, it's very interesting to watch.
Did you say it's a family group?
Yeah, very family oriented. That there's
they are not a family.
They are related in some way. There's a few of them who are, I think the girls are sisters.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And the young women. And I'm not sure that everybody in the group is related, but there's a family nucleus of them. So.
And appropriate for all ages.
Yes, absolutely.
As is your whole season, I guess.
Yes. All of it is family friendly. All of it, I would, you know, if I think any I mean, some are more appropriate for a little bit older children, like the Frank Warren post-secret thing. Probably not, you know, a teenager, 13, 14-year-old, that's probably the age that would be appropriate, just because of the content and stuff. But everything else is, I think very appropriate for all ages.
Okay. For more information on the Kirkland Fine Arts Center and the Performing Arts Series, the web address is millikan.edu/Kirkland, or millikan.edu will allow you to poke around the website and find out all kinds of things that are going on at the university. Barry Pearson and Amy Hodges, thanks very much for driving over to be on Live and Local.
Thank you.
And we'll go out listening to a little bit of Cherry Holmes. This is a tune called Broken. It was a group called Cherry Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S, at least semi-family group, meaning that there are some family members who make up that band, a performance of a tune called Broken. They will be at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center, part of their performing arts series, actually closing out the performing arts series for the 2009-2010 season. For more information on the group, it's cherryholmes.com. And again, for the Kirkland Fine Arts Center, milliken.edu/Kirkland, K-I-R-K-L-A-N-D. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. June 30th is just 6 days away, and we still have $170,000 left to meet our fundraising goal here at the WYLL stations. You can help by mailing a check to 300 North Goodwin in Urbana, Illinois. That's 61801. Again, that's 300 North Goodwin, Urbana, 61801. And we thank you for your support. My next guest is Ken Collins. I just was going to call you Sam for some reason. Had a little brain episode. Who is directing the University of Illinois Summer Band for two concerts this summer. And pleased to welcome you to the show. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So I was actually surprised because I haven't kept up with things that are happening over in the University of Illinois band department. And apparently there's a lot happening because the last time I had a representative of the band was Pete Griffin talking about the summer. And I think somebody just told me that he's taken off for other places. Is that correct?
No, Dr. Griffin is still here. He's the director of the Marching Illini, but he's just no longer doing the summer band.
Okay, well, I'm glad that was incorrect information, and thanks for setting us straight. So how did you end up doing the summer band?
Well, actually, I asked to do it. We were in the spring semester this year, and when I very first came to the university during the summer last year, I guest conducted on the program, and Daniel Neuenschwander, who has gone on to be director of bands at Kutztown State in Pennsylvania, had the band last year, and so I just inquired as to who would be doing the band this year, and fortunately, they said, well, why don't you do it? So I said, absolutely, I'd be glad to.
So I'm going to have to try this. I'll go to certain orchestras and say, I'd like to conduct your orchestra and see what happens. You know, it might be a good technique. But I'm sort of making light of this a little bit, but you've got some pretty good background coming into your program here. You're in for master's, doctoral program?
I'm just now finishing up this summer a master's in wind band conducting here. But I'm actually an active duty bandmaster in the United States Navy, and very lucky that the Navy afforded me the last year to come here and just focus on my studies.
How long have you been with the Navy bands?
20 years now. I just went over 20 years in June, so pretty much most of my adult life.
Wow. And have you hopped around different bands or been mostly with one?
Well, I've been pretty much everywhere. I started in Guam. I spent about 4.5 years in Guam, which was some of the most interesting years of my life, actually, hopping around the small islands of Micronesia there. And then all the way to the East Coast, Newport. I've been at the Navy Band in Washington, D.C., the Academy Band in Annapolis. And then recently out in Hawaii, I was the director of the Pacific Fleet Band out in Hawaii.
I remember years ago, it was an interesting discovery for me. I just always assumed, as I'm sure many people do, that there is a Navy band, a Marine band, an Air Force band, when in fact there are several of, or even many of all of those, right?
Yeah, most people are aware of what we call our premier bands, which are the bands in the National Capital Region. They're your President's Own United States Marine Band, our Navy Band in Washington, D.C., and of course the various Academy bands. But each service also has bands spread out throughout the globe. I mean, we're ambassadors. Be hard to find a more powerful language to communicate across the world than music, and the military certainly understands that.
You refer to them in ones around Washington, D.C. as the premier bands. Are they necessarily the best bands?
Well, the thing is those bands actually specialize in particular fields. We hire people who come in just to play in the concert band or just to play in their jazz bands. The bands, speaking specifically for the Navy, those bands that are out in the field, we do a little bit of everything, a little bit of commercial work, some concert work, so a little bit more well-rounded musicians out there.
So somebody who wants to join the military to be in a band specifically, is that what they do for their military career? Do they have to do any fighting?
I can speak specifically to my service, which is the Navy, and the only thing that I've ever carried were a pair of drumsticks and a baton. So that's been my experience. I mean, we have very high level musicians. We expect a lot of our musicians. We all audition prior to ever coming in. So that's 100% our mission is to be musicians, and like I say, to carry that role even further, to be ambassadors really for the country, and we take that seriously.
To get into the program, do you have to go through boot camp along with everybody else?
Everybody, even those in the premier bands, we all have to learn how to fold our socks and things like that. Yes,
and be in pretty good shape, I imagine.
Yes. Well, I mean, we do what they call physical training tests for us in the Navy twice a year. So some people run twice a year. Some people run more often than that.
Just like in real life, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I brought along or pulled from our shelves a piece that always kind of meant a lot to me because it was the very first piece that I ever conducted when I was at Northwestern and working with John Painter.
A legend.
I know you will know who he was, if you didn't even know him personally. And this is the Earl of Oxford's March by William Byrd, as arranged by Gordon Jacob for a suite that he called the William Byrd Suite. Here's a performance by the Eastman Wind Ensemble led by Frederick Fennell. Eastman Wind Ensemble led by Frederick Fennell playing the Earl of Oxford's March from the William Byrd Suite by Gordon Jacob here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Coming up in about 12 minutes, I'll give you a weather forecast and we'll have news headlines at a minute past. And Julie Amacher has classical music starting at 106. And a quick rundown of some of the events going on, musical and theater events going on today and tomorrow in our area. The Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana is presenting a musical version of The Full Monty. In fact, that runs Wednesday through Sunday and the next couple of weeks as well, 8 o'clock performances each night. The Craig Russo Latin Jazz Project is performing at Turnberry Ridge Park in Champaign. That's tonight at 6:30, a free program. At the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan, it's The Wedding Singer. Performances today at 2 and 8. And then the rest of the weekend, 8 o'clock in the evening, and there's a matinee on Saturday also, I believe. The Peoria Municipal Band is playing at Glen Oak Park in Peoria tonight at 7:30. The Illinois Chamber Music Festival gets underway at Westbrook Auditorium on the campus of Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington. That recital is tonight at 7:30. Champaign-Urbana Theater Company opens Les Miserables, the student edition, tomorrow. It runs through Sunday at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. And Tuesdays with Maury is one of three plays in rotation being put on by the Summer Studio Theater Company. That's tomorrow evening at 7:30 at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. And in Goodfield, Illinois, it's Forever Plaid at the Conklin's Barn 2 Dinner Theater. Doors open tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, and that continues through Sunday as well. Sundays is a brunch performance. Those are just a few of the things you can go see and hear in our area, and that's we try to bring those to you here on Live and Local. My guest for this portion of the show is Ken Collins, who is director of the University of Illinois Summer Band. They're giving their first of two concerts this summer tomorrow evening at, remind me.
7 p.m. in the quad.
on the right in the beautiful quad of on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I think everybody can probably who has been involved in bands has some Frederick Fennell story or another. He was, you know, conductor of that group that we just had, and you've had some experiences with him.
Well, he's definitely the father of the wood band, I guess, as we would know it today. But yes, at the Navy Band, actually, he came and his edition of Lincolnshire Posy, which we all pretty much everybody uses now, was premiered by the Navy Band at Midwest in 1987. And there's actually a DVD out of him rehearsing that group, working up to that first performance. And he's just, as many other people have probably noticed, he's just inspirational in front of the group. He has so many stories. Sometimes it's hard to get the rehearsal going because Fred has so many stories to tell all the time. But he just gets so much out of a group through either facial expressions or just little things. It's an education. It was always an education to watch him on the podium every time.
Yeah, he passed away, I guess, several years ago now.
Yes, he did, down in Florida, I believe, in 2004.
Is that when it was? He was in his 90s, I think, and still conducting. And for those who may have heard me mention the name because we've played recordings or we've had other band folks on, he almost always manages to come up. And if you can get hold of that videotape, a DVD, it would really be interesting, I think, for anybody who's curious about how conductors work before they get to the concert stage, before they get to a performance, which is usually all anybody sees, and particularly this guy because he was a character. And as you said, just remarkably effective. I played, I think, at least three times had a chance to work with him in my short time doing playing in bands. And it was always quite an experience. We're going to hear in a minute a selection by the U.S. Navy Band. This is the one based in Washington, D.C., of music by Philip Spark, which is actually a good occasion for us to talk about the summer band concert, since that's, after all, why you came in. And you're doing a piece of his on one of the concerts this summer.
On our second concert, we have planned to do a newer work of his called Fiesta. And actually, we have a guest conductor coming in to do that, a Major Philip Ting, who is actually the head of all of the military music from Singapore. And he's actually here in residence this year as well, along with me. And so he'll be guest conducting that piece on the concert on July 15th.
Is he somebody that you knew already and brought in to do this?
Actually, we both met here when we came to the campus. We just both happened to start at the same time. But we formed a great friendship over the years. He's been a wonderful friend and incredible bands that come out of that country, out of Singapore.
Have you found a different experience working with this band than working with the military bands? And if so, what have you found?
Well, with the summer band, if we're speaking of the summer band in particular, it's a little bit more lighthearted atmosphere. We're here to have a good time. It's a mix. We have a mix of talent from people who are, you know, doctoral performance majors to people who are older and in the community and just playing as a hobby. So we try to just meet some middle ground and have a good time, make some good music that we can enjoy. Obviously, in the military setting, in a professional setting, the standard is a bit higher, and the pressure is a little bit higher as well.
And it's all business, I imagine.
It is, but you know what? We have a good time. I wouldn't do it for 20 years if it weren't fun. If it's not fun, it's not worth doing. That's sort of my motto.
Exactly. If it's somebody on the show said Monday, if it's work, then why work at it?
I have managed my adult life never to have a job, and I'd like to keep it that way if I can.
That's great. I mean, to be able to say that is terrific. What about you've done some work with the U of I bands over the time you've been here as well?
Yes, I was assigned a band. I was actually very fortunate. The band program here is so large that it affords us students who are conducting students a lot of time on the podium, which is really a wonderful thing. And I had a band each semester here, the first concert band, and had a chance to do two concerts with them each semester, and that was really wonderful for me to be sort of observed and critiqued as I was also working a band towards performance, which is you know, a bit different after you've been out in the professional world for a while to come back and have somebody take a look at you again. You know, you can get a little bit lazy out there or into some bad habits, and to have somebody looking at you again and reviewing what you're doing and take a step back is always a good thing.
Well, I was going to ask about that, and since you brought it up, I mean, for you to come back, 20 years experience in the Navy bands, and then have somebody look at you who may well really be your peer or less. How does that feel?
I don't know that anybody is a peer or anybody is less, actually. I mean, I think you can learn something from anyone who happens to take a look. Anybody who has an opinion, I think it's valid. It's what you choose to do with it that way. But the instruction that I received here was outstanding and definitely very, very worthwhile and made me a better musician for having had the experience. So I don't care what age you are. I think that the wonderful thing about music is that we never stop learning and we can always get better until the day we're done.
Was that basically a motivation for deciding to come back to school, take a break, or... What was the advantage to
Absolutely. It was to take some time away from constantly, you know, preparing concerts and to be able to just take a year and just focus on study and on academic interests, which, you know, when you're out in the professional world, you don't always have that time. There's always the next thing that's due, the next thing that you're working on. But this year afforded me some time to take apart some things that maybe I wouldn't have had time to do on the job.
Well, we're glad you came in, and I'm sure the band program here and definitely the summer band is all the richer for having your experience that you bring. I do want to play a little bit of this Jubilee Overture of Philip Spark, but why don't you give us a real quick preview of what folks will hear on tomorrow night's concert?
Well, I'm sort of labeling it a little bit of Taste of Americana. We've got some marches, various marches. Of course, if I'm doing a concert, we're going to have some marches. Azusa March, Black Horse Troop.
One of my favorites.
Yes, I love the march. Americans We by Henry Fillmore, so a bit of a screamer in there. And also, we are going to feature one of our... somebody who just finished a master's degree in euphonium performance, Philip Coleman, on a piece that I brought from the Navy Band called Nautical Variations, which was a euphonium solo written for the Navy Band soloist Roger Barron, and Phil is going to perform that tomorrow night. So a little bit of something for everybody.
And it's a free program.
Absolutely.
We won't talk about the weather forecast. It's a little iffy for tomorrow at this point.
If it does happen to rain, we'll be over. We will do the concert. We'll just do it in the Harding Band Building in the band room there. So there will be a concert, rain or shine.
Great. That's good to know. Hopefully things will be fine. It'll be on the University of Illinois Quad here in Urbana-Champaign. 7 o'clock tomorrow night, the UI Summer Band Concert. Conductor Ken Collins, appreciate you joining me on Live and Local today.
Thank you for having me, Kevin.
And this is music by Philip Spark. It's called The Jubilee Overture, played by the U.S. Navy Band. Music by Philip Spark, his Jubilee Overture here on FM 90.9. A heat advisory is in effect until 7 this evening for our listening area. This afternoon, partly to mostly sunny, hot and humid, the high 93. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a chance of a few showers and thunderstorms, the low around 70. Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, an authorized Karastan Broadloom and Rug dealer at 11 Westport Court on Bloomington's east side. Sweeney Brothers, where the beauty of a room starts with the floor. This is WYLL 90.9 FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana.